אנחנו צריכים שיהיה אחראי על כל
We need for there to be someone responsible for every smallest of actions that emerges to the air and even here. It's not that someone comes and does something. And there's no one responsible for it. There's no such thing. Everything has to be under supervision because by that you're putting the hope for our advancement. If it doesn't, then don't do anything. Sit silently and just work on your intention. But if you are doing some group action, this must be measured and there should be someone who's truly responsible for it, who has been prepared for it, readied for it, and then he can give the authorization, and when it comes in, there's someone who put their stamp on it, assigned it. Otherwise, how could it be? If I were to relate to lessons in such way, I don't know. So, who's responsible here? Is there someone or not? There is. A person who is responsible for the preparation for the lesson, let's say, that 15 minutes. So, there should be someone who's responsible. And about the songs also, before that. I hear already 10 times Chasal Seder Pesach. What does it have to do with, what does that nigun have to do with anything? It's the nigun that you heard today also and the day before. Whoever doesn't know, it sounds childish. What happened? Once a year or a few times in Pesach, yes, but what's the point? To sing a song that is supposed to be sung at the end of Pesach. There are other niguns from melodies from Bar HaSulam, or even not Bar HaSulam, that we need to vary a little bit and do. And not just like that, whatever, if someone feels like doing so. We need to also pay attention to that. Relate seriously to that which you eat. Who is feeding you and what are you consuming? It truly influences the spiritual advancement. You need to really be attentive to more meticulously, to more and more each time.
Friends, we're reminding you that we're not using phones during the lesson. We are reading in the writings in Shamati number 3, the meaning of spiritual attainment. Shamati, article number
3.
Are there any questions left over from the morning lesson for anyone? No? Okay. Yes.
The guys from the Ukraine said that many people came to the wisdom of Kabbalah from anti-Semitism. Many of our students used to be anti-Semitic. And they're asking, how do you use these kelim, these vessels, correctly for dissemination and for work?
There's a problem with this. Until people start to understand it correctly, they get used to it, they understand what the proper and right, true interpretation there is to what is Jew, nations of the world, Israel, the different lands, and where this stems from. I would recommend each time to turn to the first cause, which is the will to receive, the reshimot, the desire to bestow, all the system, and decide from it about any matter here. Otherwise, it's unclear, and a person starts to interpret everything according to something he's accustomed to from this life, and it's a flawed, corrupted dictionary that will never lead one to the truth and to our work. He won't understand us. Rather, one should, when we talk about the correction of the world, One must talk about the reshimot that are directed to Yashar Kel, which are also in him and in others, and everything that has to do with this aspiration to reveal the Creator. And that's why we have to look at things that way. All the rest, those that don't have that, those reshimot in them, that have not awakened in them yet. It's not that it's not. Everyone has it. Because when, at the time of the Ari, the incorporation came to a conclusion of the reshimot that were incorporated from the merging of Israel and the nations of the world, then everyone has a reshimo already, only that this reshimo operates in different ways, either for or against. Therefore, the natural form of anti-Semitism, as we learned, is the reshimot that awaken, but they're from the shattering, and they don't find the right way to be answered, to be corrected for repentance, for the right development, and that's why they develop that way. We see that the same thing happens also with Jews, not just in the nations of the world. Where do you have greater anti-Semites than the Jews themselves towards the wisdom of Kabbalah, towards its implementation? There's no such thing. It's clear that the greatest resistance is amongst what we call the ordinary people of Israel. And this is something that needs to be explained. And that explanation can only be under the condition that we're going again to Adam HaRishon, to the shattering and all that happens from then until Babylon, and from Babylon to us, slowly, slowly, and then from that we explain it. If not an explanation that is based on those reasons, on the basis of truth, you will always be confused, and it won't be fundamental and correct. It'll always leave a person with the wrong impression. I've received many letters. Marek probably also received, and I've received, from people that are really important to us. And these are not simple people. People with education and with the importance in our society and in general, also in the external societies. And they've asked things and were confused in matters because of the language that we are not being very precise and meticulous in directing, guiding the words and definitions in the right way. And a person who is nevertheless between both cultures, the spiritual culture and the corporeal culture, sometimes jumps from this to that and has a problem. I know this. I also know this on myself from years ago, when I was also unacquainted with how someone all of a sudden asks and his question throws you to real corporeality, and you don't know how to start to come out of that and to compose the right picture for it. We need to learn how to do that. That's why we need to know how to write correctly, to interpret correctly that which we're talking specifically now, when we're talking about Israel and the nations of the world, 70 years to Israel. Why do we need to celebrate all of a sudden everyone? Some Chile friend or a Russian friend, what does it have to do with him? Who here celebrates the anniversaries that are happening for their countries? That's certain that not. That's why we need to do so. We need to explain, explanation that is more and more, and each should write and try to write in a correct way. And if not, then one needs to also, when one writes and puts it somewhere, needs to check it. Needs to put it through maybe our censorship for them to examine it, to make sure that it's correct and real and not confusing to a person. As he's writing that he belongs to Bnei Baruch, then that could cause us the opposite advertisement that we're looking for. That's why be very cautious and first of all explain it to yourselves, these matters, in the right way. And if you explain, then immediately we need to raise a person from the corporeal level to the spiritual level. And when one is in spirituality, then, and understands this explanation and sees the picture in its general way, from the beginning of creation to the end of correction, altogether it's 6,000 years, this history. Then after that, it's possible to explain to him what's happening in this world, the nations of the world, Israel, why it's this way and that way. In short, with great sensitivity. Otherwise, it will truly be negative advertisement. You will cause more damage than all of our haters. Clear? That's it. So be very cautious. Is that it? Yes?
Concerning the role of Israel, many things were kept throughout history. But what's the reason that the system has basically forgotten about the role of Israel? There's this concealment about the role.
Because it comes from the spiritual degree, from the ruin of the temple. Already in the first temple, when they reached the apex, the peak, for one moment in spirituality, it needs to be like pinpoint. There was a point, a click of sorts, a contact with Yechida. They're done. They did the correction. More than that, they couldn't. In spirituality in general, it does not extend more than contact. There's no measure in time. And when they attained it, they already began to descend. They didn't feel, until a person starts to feel that he's descending, dozens of years could pass in our world. Because corporeality stretches time. It doesn't extend, it stretches the sensation. And the klipa makes it do so. Therefore, it kind of spreads it, this sensation. And therefore, they immediately began to descend from that, because they didn't need it anymore. And then, to the extent in which time operates, it operates in such a way that everything is forgotten more and more and more. How does it happen with you? Ask yourselves. I'm an impression, moved and excited, spiritually, and everything. It's beautiful. Everything is so... And ta 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 ta. And all of a sudden I find myself, where am I in general? How did I even come to that? I got there. That's how it is. There's some blocker or some, how should we say, something that's, it's like turning off the knowledge for me that I'm in a descent. For me to enable that descent. Because I need to now be in a new state. And when a new will to receive arrives and starts to clothe upon the previous high state of sorts, it blocks it. And slowly, slowly, and when it swallows it, a person doesn't feel that, because for the time being there's a certain illumination and there's a system that is very complex. From internal ones and external ones and lights that come out and shine, when they emerge, there's such an illumination. In short, a person doesn't feel it. We feel that. That's enough for us. Yes.
At the moment of the spiritual click that happened in the temple, was the whole world aware about the role of Israel?
Yes, no. The whole world? No, not the whole world. Israel, yes.
But in the end, we're talking about how the whole world will have to recognize the meaning of Israel.
Well, that's later.
So it didn't happen at the temple, the time of the temple?
No way. You see, a guy that's been here for several years and has such an opinion. Meaning this is something that we really need more and more to go over. Everything that happened with the group of Abraham only. And it reached the light of Yechidah in the first temple and immediately began to deteriorate, to descend. They immediately began the preparation for the general correction. So they started to descend and entered into the exile of Babylon. They came out for the second temple. It had to be because it's a station along the way for a descent towards the degree of Binah, the degree of Ketel, let's say in the first temple, and then a descent, return to Binah, to the degree of the second temple, and a complete descent. And then preparation through the exile towards the complete correction. To start with, this whole process comes to correct the whole world. Because to start with, the people of Israel do not exist as of their own, but they're there to correct the whole of the world. They're the part of humanity where we said that, as we talked about, it's a collection from the nations of the world that will have done the correction to be a preparation for them, li rosh, a head for all the rest of the 70 nations. And in the 70 nations, there's also very interesting processes. You also have the 10 tribes there. Yes, that's it. Yes?
I want to ask this. It also came up in the morning. Is there a spiritual benefit in dealing with this topic? I'll tell you what I mean. The topic of the role of Israel and anti-Semitism, for those who are not Jewish, they don't understand where this is coming from. Those who are Jewish or Israelis don't care about this. Even if you're right, it's irrelevant. And when it is relevant, anti-Semitism and whatnot, they'll be dealing with anti-Semitism with the blows. And then they'll say, great, so you were right, like Baal HaSulam. What's he going to do with it? So, you know, those went. So there's no learning process here. And for just the average person, so why shouldn't we deal only with the question, what am I living for, the meaning of life? And then some people, those for whom it is relevant, they'll come from this. They'll develop as a result. After many years, they'll understand that there is a role to the people of Israel. Why do we need to deal with it? Is there a spiritual correction in talking about it?
First of all, we need to engage in this because it is our role to explain things. And we see how much Baal HaSulam deals with this. Also the end of the introduction of the Book of Zohar. What does it exist for? And in general, the whole matter of development, that's one thing. The second thing is that you see that from day to day, this topic becomes more and more sharp and doesn't come off of the title, the headlines. And like it or not, it's the world is, the people here are more united around it, and we need to explain this to everyone. Not to us, and not necessarily to those or others, but to the whole world, what's happening, and not hide it. By us seemingly raising this topic, I'll tell you that we're not advertising it. Even prior to us succeeding at advertising our point, it will be advertised and even more than what you think. And subconsciously, it operates everywhere. You have, thank God, our cousins who are constantly advertising this matter in all the networks and all the international organizations. Everything will be connected to that. Pay attention to it. And if you explain it in advance, then you are now seemingly preceding the remedy to the ailment. And you're doing it when we're still relatively calm when it comes to it. That's one thing. The second thing is that we relate this to the 70 years of our state, that we have to touch this. Why? Because this is our possibility of talking about connection that we have yet to attain, and why we exist, and what would happen to us if we don't. And that we don't exist just for us, that the nations of the world are awaiting this, and that's why we are needing to do so. And that's why we appear less and less attractive from year to year by the nations. There are many things that we have to explain here. And that's why I don't think that we have to leave this matter, not to be so much that we've been in the last few lessons in it, but we have to use this year for the explanation, yes. I also would be much happier to deal with the souls of Bnei Baruch alone and their ascent, but we have no choice. We have to nevertheless care for preparing ourselves for the general end of correction. Yes?
I'm just looking both at us and the general public. A lesson like why you're living, or things like let's discover the meaning of life, something you've been searching, obtaining control, understanding the rules of nature. These are things that even to us internally, talking about ibu, like conception, the next degree, there are many things that are easier. And here, this topic is just very heavy.
Specifically because of that, it's confusing us. We find ourselves in a kind of level of folk state where why Jews are finding themselves differently in different places with different sensations, and therefore to scrutinize this and get used to it and swallow all these definitions correctly, we need to engage in it somehow. I understand that it's unpleasant, and there's confusion, and a person is kind of thrown from corporeality to spirituality once interpreting it this way or that way, so it comes out okay. When he interprets it spiritually, it seems okay, and when he does it corporeally, it doesn't seem so okay, and he doesn't know how to interpret things. That's also right, but it helps us nevertheless how to slowly, after the proper intermingling between corporeality and spirituality, to discern for us and build for ourselves the whole system, which includes both corporeality and spirituality. Corporeality and spirituality together.
And this is necessary. The role of Israel in anti-Semitism is necessary.
You have no other approach of connecting both systems, because that's the connector between the two. That's what connects between the two. When some person upon earth, who's called Jewish according to his ID card, when you have hatred towards him, and it's unjustified, it's spiritual hatred, there's no other justification. Spiritual hatred, where someone else who comes to him with a claim, let's say someone from the nations of the world comes with a complaint to him, so he comes to him and says, with the complaint, you are not revealing to me the path to the Creator. How could you? Here is the tear, here's the break where no one can give a solution to. Where does this hatred stem from? Where does it come from? And the approach is wrong, both from the nations of the world and from the Jews. And in this, we can't come to a connection between them, where it stems from. If you could explain to both where it stems from, together they could work on that cause, on that hatred, and to bring it to a connection.
I'm just saying it's easier for me to explain to someone.
What's the purpose of life? To be good children.
Even love your friend as yourself. If he's looking at me like I'm nuts, you know, it's still easier for him to accept it than, I don't know, I'm talking about Israelis, I don't know about Jews, maybe if they suffered from anti-Semitism throughout their lives. But to Israelis, it's easier to explain love your neighbor as yourself than talking to them about anti-Semitism. You know, accepting the idea that we're hated because of a spiritual role, because now we have to, I don't know.
Okay. You will have to reveal how close it is to you.
I'm not afraid of working. I'm just saying, if this difficulty is really helpful, great, let's work on it. But to me, they don't connect the necessity of, you know, why specifically this?
Yes, it's also unpleasant for you subconsciously. I understand you. Yes.
I'm summarizing questions from the friends from Moscow. Nedovskoy wrote it very clearly. The root of the bewilderment. They're saying is, how can it be that the physical people of Israel has spiritual reshimot that go by inheritance?
Right, we need to learn that, if it's even possible to understand it from the study, but it's really that way. There are corporeal degrees that appear to us as corporeal. It's not corporeality. There is no corporeality in general. It just seems to us that way from our imaginary senses that there is corporeality. What we're seeing is our reshimot. They are the same reshimot, and those reshimot go through incarnations. And those incarnations appear to us in our world like the protein body that grows and dies and grows and dies, is born and so on. But actually, those are the reshimot that are appearing in such a way to us. There is no corporeality. Hence, what you see, where does he write that it's a matter of, in the article, the piece, where it it gets switched, where we have, yes, find that for us. You understand? But we don't feel this matter of the reshimot, but bodies. That's how we grasp them for the time being. But these are reshimot. It's the same form that you see, I don't know, in the theater or something. You see forms and vectors, and inside of us, we don't see pictures. We don't have pictures in our head. These are things that, they're all reshimot. Desire and reshimot, and the light that evokes them. So that's why the answer to Doskoy's question is that we do see the reshimot, and those reshimot are in those desires that awaken and seemingly fall and awaken and are fall. It's a matter of the development of the new desires with the old reshimot. It's constantly that way. Are there other questions? If there are serious questions, please, I'm willing to answer them. These topics are very fundamental. I wouldn't recommend to disconnect them and kind of run away and say that that's not happening. Also, for me, it would be much more convenient to talk about the philosophy in Kabbalah. What? It's nice, the essence of life, the purpose of life, why are we living? It's nice and good, but our life, specifically the correction of the world, will be from all those problems and troubles of this sort. Yes.
Can we redefine the direction of the questions is very clear. How come the people of Israel who once united on the basis of an idea, there has physical issue. And number two, what is my role as a member of the world kli toward the people of Israel?
Those rishimot that are in him awaken. You're looking at the bodies. I can't erase that vision, that sight that you have. But really, there's no... I don't know. I don't know. Did you find it? So find it. Read.
The article, the piece, in the writings, in Kabbalah, it the section is the wheel of transformation in the forum. In the article, the piece, subtitled the wheel of transformation of the forum. Initially, I will present the view of our sages about the hanging down of the teachings of the world. Although we see the bodies changing from generation to generation, it is only so with the bodies. But the souls, which are the heart and the essence of the body, those do not become absent and are not interchangeable. They move from body to body, from generation to generation. And those souls that were in the generation of the flood came into the generation of Babylon, and then in the exile in Egypt, and then in those who went out from Egypt, until this generation and until the end of correction, in a way that in our world there are no new souls, as the bodies are renewed every time. But there is only a certain number of souls coming and incarnating on the wheel of transformation of the form, because they clothe each time in a new body and in a new generation. Therefore, in taking into consideration the souls, all the generations are considered from the beginning of creation to the end of correction as one generation that has been stretched out over several thousand years until it developed and achieved its correction as it should be. And it doesn't matter in that respect that in the meantime, each of them has changed their bodies several thousand times, because the essence of the body, which is called the soul, did not go through any of these changes. It was not changed at all, was not affected by any of those changes. And there is great wisdom about it, which is called the meaning of the incarnation of the souls, and this is not the place to explain it. But for those who are not proficient in this wisdom, we should say that the meaning of incarnation also applies to all elements of tangible reality. Each thing in its own way lives an eternal life. And although we see in our senses that everything is transient, it is only to our eyes, where in truth there are only incarnations. For each and every element does not rest and does not stand still for a moment. It incarnates on the wheel of transformation of the form and does not lose anything of its essence all throughout its path, as physicists have explained about it.
Okay. Questions? Yes?
There's a question from Israel. He's saying, in dissemination, we convey the message that the Jews are to blame, we have to correct. He says, in my view, when you blame people, it's hard for them to open up. So maybe instead, we can say...
There needs to be gradual, precise explanation that explains to a person why the nations of the world have a complaint to the people of Israel.
So he says, he feels, if we accuse the people of Israel, it's hard to open them up and hard to talk to them. Maybe we should...
I know that feeling that I also, in some place, would explain it, I would come to situations where they're willing to beat me up. How am I talking about the people of Israel that way? We need to do it sensitively. It's a very delicate point. What can you do?
He says maybe we should start by saying you have the power to change.
That's also right. But now when we're talking between us, amongst our friends, it's different. So here it's already... But in dissemination, we need to know meticulously in what way to address and use a sensitive and there needs to be an intellectual discernment before we say every emotional thing that you have, because the moment you touch to the emotion, the intellect is no longer there and you can't connect.
How do we connect between the role of the people of Israel, between the spiritual and physical, these two layers? How do you bridge the gap? Even here, where we get stuck in it all the time.
In what?
Because you always start your explanation on going back to history. Let's go back in time to Babylon, 3,800 years. That's where we started. You're going in a very intellectual way, in a very clear spiritual axis.
How else could you approach this matter?
I have no problem approaching it, but there's a stage where there's this leap to a different dimension.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Always leave it on an intellectual level. Continue the intellectual explanation as much as possible. So much so that you end with it, the whole process of explanation. Why not? Why is it bothering you?
Because what is Israel?
Well, then start interpreting that. Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator, and why is there a complaint to them that they have a certain direction, a method, and that's why there's a complaint against them? Those who don't have the method, who feel that in Israel they have it and they don't, and therefore that complaint can only be stemming from that. You are robbing us of happiness. Well, doesn't matter in what way. Why? You can start from such a question, but nevertheless, then start from the foundations, from Babylon, and even before Babylon, you can start from Adam HaRishon, depending where you are and how much you have to explain to people. But the explanation has to be. Explanation is not a feeling. Explanation is intellect. And here we're talking about reshimot, you see, incarnations of changes of form. Bala Sulam talks about all those. We don't talk about emotions. That's how Bala Sulam explains it. That's how it starts with from the beginning. Yes, Vlad, what do you want?
How can we explain what we just read to a person? There's a certain number of souls that reincarnate, and they're reshimot.
No, don't explain that to people. Of course not. If you want, in such great compression, with such concentration, to put into him so much new information, of course he won't understand.
Okay, but to ourselves, so that it's alive in us, what are reshimot?
Repeat it several times, learn it several times, and you'll see how this is already simple. It's already in you. What are reshimot? That cascade, that incarnate from partsuf to partsuf, from desire to desire, that just transform this external form that we see and recognize, but inside, no. I try to think about this more and more. But, okay, we'll go through it. We won't be so precise with all these details. But it's good that we've spoken of it. These materials are in our archive, and I hope that you will at some point need it and use it for the good. I have to be able to give these things so that they remain. And later, throughout time... Yes, Mike. No? Okay. Yes.
In the beginning, you spoke about how a person comes to a spiritual point and then gets the concealment during the descent. So the question is here, how to use the concealment in the tent correctly, if concealment falls on the person or on the whole tent, if they were at a pick
well,
and come
so
down.
What?
So he's asking, how can we use it correctly in the work in the tent?
Do they remember that they're in concealment or that they're simply in an unconscious way?
What you talked about is just unconsciousness.
No, I'm asking you not just like that. Don't just say as if you know. It depends on what state they're in. If they're completely unconscious, completely, all of them, then that's true exile. There's no one that can help them. Unless there's other than that, 10 other tens that are on the outside that could help them. If they have a mechanical obligation that they have to appear at the morning lesson, such things. But if they're in a spiritual state, in a real down disconnect, then it's disconnect. There needs to be, it should be known what the situation is, not to guess. Yes, Nessie.
What does it mean that in the Kli you have Rishimov of the light, and in the light Rishimov of the Kli?
Where did you read that?
I heard it in the beginning of the morning lesson.
I don't know. We have to see where that is. What the context of what we were talking was.
Ken.
Yes.
Couldn't call Mr. L.
First of all, I'm sorry for. I'm sorry that I have to talk about Jews in America.
I've forgiven you.
But the Jews in the U.S. are.
Will they come back to be in unity again with the Jews here in Israel? Or are they just like a loose net? Like by which we'll collect Chisaron and raise it.
Don't ask me about that at all. I don't know and I don't want to know. And in general, if you're asking me, I don't care for them right now. I'm not concerned with them. Don't ask about them at all, specifically, anything. I'm not concerned with them. I'm not concerned with them. I'm concerned with the correction. The correction. And that's it. I am not amongst them, and I don't influence them or care for them. I have no matter towards them. When I meet them, I see complete indifference towards everything but their pockets. That's it. And that's why I don't care for them. I have no possibility to... You want to influence to them. You want to bestow to them. Please, cause a drop of the stock exchange, and then they'll wake up. That's it. Other than that, you can't influence them in any way. That's why it's not worthwhile for us to talk about them. I'm asking of you, we're done. With the American Jews, we're done. That's it. We're relating only to Yashar Kel, in what we have in America, from all the different types and people that we have that are American. That's it. Okay, are we done with this topic? What do you want all the time? You have a specific question. Usually, what for the morning lesson?
First of all, in the morning lesson, we read excerpts from the greatest leaders of the nation who are not Kabbalists.
Yes.
I have several questions about it. First of all, why did we read it? Why are we suddenly learning it?
Why did we read that? I'll answer immediately. Because we want to know, just like Baal HaSulam thought on behalf of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that they thought about the leaders of the nation, people who are wise people, who also thought in that same general direction, only that they didn't base it on the wisdom of Kabbalah, but on their understanding, their corporeal understanding, like Echada'am, Gordon, and Bialik, and who else was there? Buber, Ben-Gurion, and others. It's good to know that they were of such an opinion as well. But they didn't have the kelim, the tools, and the cry to the people did not help, would not help. They didn't have the instruments to build it, to compose it, to even erect an education system. And therefore, they all passed away, and even though Ben-Gurion ran away from all those things and went to the Negev, and that was it.
So that's the question. What are these tools that Campbellists have? Like Bubel talked about education, love, correction of the heart.
If you don't have an education whose purpose is to evoke the reforming light, it's not an education. It's not an education. That education has no feet. It has no force. It is...
What does it mean? There is no left line?
I'm not going to talk to you about the left line because you don't understand that. You have no possibility of awakening the reforming light. It's sterile to start with. It only can change the nature of man, and therefore you have no one to talk to other than Kabbalists whose method specifically is towards the light, the reforming light, which leads the change in a person. Where is it written about that? About the reforming light? Yes, in the introduction to Tess it's written. And if not, then go home and dream with your philosophy that it's good to be connected and to build kibbutz and other communities. Yeah, it won't happen. Well,
this connection to the reforming light, is it connection to the original sources, original texts? What is this connection? What do they don't have that Baal HaSulam does have? How does it connect to the reforming light? Through certain texts or what?
Through the writings, through the point in the heart, through the right guides, we can awaken in groups through a longing for change of the state, even the corporeal state. Because there is no corporeality. It's all spirituality, but it depends on what degrees. So we call them corporeality. And you can awaken that longing for change as by what the Kabbalists say in reading the Kabbalistic writings in a group, in expectation for change, and aspiration and love to what they wrote. But they wrote about the beautiful and good states that they think is good to be in. But how to attain it, they didn't know. And Kabbalists, the whole point is that there's a connection to the reforming light.
Final question, I have to ask it. What I'm thinking is, what you're saying now, you can't tell people who are just beginning.
Of course you can.
You can?
Yes. Otherwise, what are you coming to them for? I would immediately ask, what do you have in your pocket? Do you have money? What is money? It's a covering to that which you're saying. The light doesn't. If you have that, I'm going with you. If not, no. It's very simple. Did you come here to tell people about some philosophical, beautiful things, or we'll pay you and you came here to profit? Why did you come here? For what? To tell us some fantasies?
Well, what's the covering? I don't get it.
Do you have a covering? By what are you about to change a person? Do you have something or not? All those Ben-Gurion, Zechadam, all those people. Beautiful people. They spoke from their heart. It hurt them. But it's nothing.
What's the covering? What's the support that you can give to a beginner?
You can explain to them slowly, maybe not in two words, but in a few lessons, you can explain to them that there's a structure that really is the only one that exists and not this imaginary world. And in that structure, there's the will to receive and the light that fills it. By a specific action, the light goes out of the will to receive and exists outside of it. And now the will to receive, in return, needs to put the light back in. And then we have the work with the will to receive, that which is us inside, and the light which went out and is outside of the will to receive. And then the method is how to bring the lights closer so that they will shine on us, illuminate on us, and how we can between us awaken a longing to bring back that light back into the will to receive. That's the whole method. And there is such a method which does that. We are all in the darkness, inside the dark will to receive. That's it. And the light is outside of us, and we can awaken it, and by it, we will reach a state in which it will fill the desire. Yes?
So it's still a little high, this explanation for a beginner. When I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, I heard these explanations, so I had a feeling, just a feeling, that it's true, and I said, I have to stick around, and I stayed today. It's more than 10 years now. But for a beginner, there's nothing you can understand here, you know, the lights and all that.
Then even not to a beginner. Okay, let's say a beginner doesn't know at all where he's falling upon. A beginner came, he doesn't even know how he even came, why he came. He doesn't even identify that it's because he has a question, what's the meaning of my life, the essence of life, why am I alive? Also, those questions, until they're clarified inside a person, they awaken, yes, they bring him to a meeting with you, but he doesn't know how to express them yet. They're still kind of concealed in a way. They're immersed inside of him somehow, buried in him. And it takes time until they're clarified, until it's like in the Agadah of Pesach, the one that doesn't know how to ask. So open it for him, and then he will ask. Right?
So, just the last thing I'm saying is, I'm saying it could be dangerous to start reading Buber's writings and next to it say Bala Sulam's writings and say draw a parallel.
I'm not telling you how you'll do those conversations and lectures to them. What are you already jumping, like you're planning here the meeting with them? I'm not telling you what to start with. That's something that needs to be really planned seriously, gradually, depending on what audience it is, and for you to have in your portfolio several such conversations, 6-7 discussions for different audiences as that first meeting, and maybe 5-6 other ones for the second meeting with them, with different audiences, and so on. That needs to be. It's a matter of education and guidance, and it's not simple. But that's the profession that is now the only important profession in the world. That's worthy. Now it's about the time of money and technology and all these profits. The capitalistic profits are coming to an end. We don't see it yet, but it's ending. And what will you do with the billions of people? And here, you can't annihilate them. That's impossible. That won't go. So we need to reveal why we need all these billions. Because specifically by dividing the spiritual attainment to billions of carriers, you could say. Carriers. Meaning they're kind of carrying it. They're, you know, each putting on, you know, his part and carrying it, then there's a great profit by doing so, a great reward by doing so. We need this multiple. Where is it written about the multiplicity? Where is the you're blocked right now? The multiplicity is considered that the king wants to take his treasure from one state to another. Yes. Okay, just so it'll be written somewhere there later. They'll find it if they want. Okay? So that's why you have here an explanation of why we really need those billions, as within the 100 years from less than 2 billion, we went to 8 billion. The reason why that it's that way. And there's no need for them at all. And this is why, therefore, all these billions, humanity will discover that they need them for the spiritual correction, that specifically through this multiplicity of bodies, we will be able to we will be able to correct the general kli. Yes.
And this multiplicity or proliferation of views and ideas, is that also part of the correction? Does that help them understand us in the end?
Yes, of course. Of course. All right, we're done with him. We have two others. Well, yes.
Should the billions know about the reforming light?
They need to know how to receive an education, to receive the education. And other than the billions, there needs to be also a great army of educators through the whole internet networks. And these educators need to be under the condition that they receive, those billions need to be by receiving what they need for their whole regular whole life by participating in this education.
What knowledge should they have about the method, besides the fact that they'll be happy if they are together?
Nothing. Nothing. Just that in the global world, we need to connect in a good way to each other.
Meaning what Buber said, for example, that's good for the billions, right?
Yes, 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 exactly. They don't have, if they were to connect with the Kabbalists, it would be good. Why did Baal HaSulam go to Ben-Gurion? Because he thought that maybe from that there could be some connection.
So if we're going to want to go out to the billions, do we have to delve into Buber's writings?
No, you won't find something special there that you're not discovering through the Kabbalah writings. But it's written nice and incorrect. I once defined in Russian, where is it written from Buber? I quoted from there. A lot in my book there. It's not my fourth book, maybe? I don't remember. I read him a lot. I actually liked reading his writings. He writes nicely. And generally, Chadam seems like a person of vision. Yes?
There's the gap between people who have points in the heart. You can talk to them about the reforming light, and they accept it. We see it on campuses. Like I said, three or four lessons, they start hearing it. It takes a while, but a person, like the friend said, feels it.
Yeah.
Those who don't have points in the heart,
a logical explanation, why not? Just like to anti-Semites, to everyone. A logical explanation. You don't need to open for them some spiritual system. It's not spiritual. It's a system. Like all the systems. The will to receive is spiritual. Well, we call spiritual as it works in the form of bestowal. But it's a special force that we need to evoke. Otherwise, we won't connect together. No, there's not much of a problem here. It all depends on how the explanation will be closer to people. No. In graduality.
The Congress we're going to have in a week and a half, and the lessons to talk about the role of the people of Israel, are we supposed to be there like people speaking to the billions or to the points in the heart?
In every single lesson, we will have to talk about our role, how we need to be connected for that first, how we need to come to a connection between us, how we begin to identify the Creator who is between the good and evil in each and every one, as he's playing with us with those two reins, and how we rise above those reins in order to be adhered to him. As he throws me once to the bad, and I'm in fear and in anxieties and not such convenient or comfortable sensations that I can't stand, and hatred, it's mostly different fears, because the will to receive is impressed in such a way. On the other hand, he throws me to the euphoria where all of a sudden I feel him, and then I see that everything, I'm adhered to him, dependent on him, and I don't care about anything. And actually, it's not this and not that that are the desirable states, but rather we need to be in the middle. In the middle line is something that I do on my own, such a character, where me and him are in balance and mutual connection face to face with each other. And that's what we want to establish for ourselves as a purpose, a goal, and get closer to it with our attainment. That's it. I think that there are plenty of people here who already are kind of feeling and sensing those things. We have such people. But also overseas in our world, we have such. Yes.
Can I ask something about Rabash?
Yes.
He had students in England. He went to visit there often.
Who do you mean? There were two kinds.
I don't know exactly.
He had students which were those that were Rav Dessler's students. Rabbi Dessler was from the Lithuanian sect of rabbinical things, and he received several lessons from Bala Sulam. And accordingly, he started writing several books, a few things, and to teach people. He was impressed by that. And he was very respectable amongst the Lithuanian court. And his Kabbalah wasn't as critical as Bala Sulam's Kabbalah. And Rabash, who was in England, visited his students, Rav Dessler's students in Gateshead, a certain Jewish community there that my son was accepted to study there at some point. And that's it. So Rabash told me that I came to them and spoke to them. They were very impressed by that, and they said that if it weren't for Rav Deste, we would think that Rav Ashlag is talking nonsense. And so he was happy that they're saying like that to his face, nonsense. You know, it wasn't customary to talk that way to a rabbi who came to them. So he was very happy that they were men, not just Orthodox. And that's it. So he left them. Once he said, I traveled to them, I spoke to them, and I said a little above what I should have said. And they were impressed, and they started to say, why are we sitting here? What are we doing with this study? We need to throw it. We will go with you to Rabash. And Rabash said, okay, we will talk about it next time. He came to them the next time, not a week later, but 2 weeks later, on purpose. And then he says that they forgot it about already, the society already had its actions on them, they were calmed down, and, you know, like, I dispersed the blow, because otherwise what would happen? They would kill him there, all the others in the Orthodoxy. So that's it. What am I trying to say here? It was a different faction that he would at times travel to and give them lessons. But he had also several other individuals that are no longer amongst us. Later, they came here to Israel. He lived with them, and when he was in England, he was there for 3 years. Until the court case over the Zohar was over. He didn't want to be in the middle of that country, all that problems. So after, when his younger brother wanted for the Zohar to belong to him only, Bara Sulam's Sulam commentary, and he started to a certain judicial process. So Rabash gave it to, I don't know how it happened exactly. I once saw, maybe I have it even in the archive somewhere, some transcript from the court case. I didn't get into all those things. And so he left for 3 years until the court case was over, and then he came back. And he was there in England. That's it. He lived with several students, once with one student, another time with another, and that's how.
The question is, did he see some specific meaning for correction with these people, with these students?
I don't know. That's not simple. Also, we can't get into such groups and start to do something there, whatever we feel like. No, never. It's not good. It's not good. We need to be very cautious with that. Despite the fact that I've done the same thing with Berg, with his institute. But I saw that Rabash did support it. Well, what's been done has been done. And who knows how correct it was or not. The Creator spins things that way. Yes, Gilad.
All this talk give me a positive anxiety and a lot of necessity. On the other hand, this path is very problematic.
You're actually changing.
Yeah, softening up.
There's something in him already, something human.
On the other hand, this path is very problematic. You can veer off of it every moment, every step. You might go in the wrong direction. I even started thinking about how the way I teach in the campus, even that's incorrect already. It's that's how anxious I am, positively anxious.
What can you do? That's our ways.
But that's not the question.
Do you think that I'm not under such questions? I choose very meticulously every time and every single lesson. And after the lesson, I do introspection, whether it was right or not, how much it was and how much it wasn't. You see, sometimes I'm writing the different notes for myself for tomorrow or for some other time. It's an array that you have to relate to in with great seriousness. You too, don't just accept it just like that. Your curriculum for your lessons at the first and second campuses, and etc. You need to constantly be making changes. Yes? Also, people change from campus to campus. The fact that you received them 6 months ago, you get new ones today, they're different people. Yes?
There's a good job being done there. The question is how I'm passing on what the friends have given me to pass on. But that's not the question. We have a few more years with you, but at some point we will be alone. So my question is about our vocation. Like, we have to do the work now so that we'll be ready later.
That's why I'm caring for the archive and all this order, that it'll be all sorted and correct and be ready. And as much as possible to leave it in an organized way, ready for usage. For usage.
What should we fight over now?
You need to battle over one thing, other than sorting these things corporally. Over the fact that we How should I say this? Over us placing the point of contact with the Creator above every state that arrives. Even though the Creator each time sends us disturbances in order to disconnect us from Him. I have nothing to add.
When you are not here, will be a group of Bnei Baruch, Kabbalists who are supposed to lead the world.
Yes.
How do you see it happening?
I don't see how it happens, and I don't want to know about it so much. I can't plan those things. I am preparing myself and you for every day for a state in which you will be more and more mature, and that's it. And I'm not the boss. I also don't need to be concerned with that. I would recommend to you also to care for what you are today and not what you will be. Because caring for tomorrow is... you're missing today if you care for tomorrow. And I said what needs to be. I need to strengthen now my connection with the Creator, so that no disturbance will disconnect me from that. And along the way, there's the group. As through the group, I adhere to Him, who is as the connection in the group. That's it. If I sort that system for me, I don't care if I live, die, what I should be, and what yes and what not. That's it. There are no events, there's no causes in the world that could come and harm me, but rather only in order to strengthen me in even more connection. Israel, the light in the Creator, that's it.
No.
Well, that's it, yes? What's with you?
When does a person begin to see Rishimot instead of a body? When does it begin to see Rishimot instead of bodies?
I don't know what to tell you. I think that it comes slowly, slowly. I can't tell you when, but it slowly, slowly clarifies more and more a system that is not corporeal. But before that, he has many descents and powerful descents where he enters into great stresses of the will to receive that is being revealed with threats, fears, different anxieties from which he is drawn to the Creator. And then more and more is disclosed to him in greater connection to the Creator, even though a person is not yet in that form of complete revelation, not in the form of revelation yet. What is disclosed before him is that the whole system is a system of connection. Him with the whole world, which is all his desires that are outside of him for the time being, that's how it appears to a person, and the Creator. That's it. What does one need to do? He has to, just like we learn from all of Kabbalah, what is all of this Kabbalah? To collect all the different causes that are seemingly contradicted to a connection with the Creator. That's considered that you're correcting the desires, the Rishimot. I hold on to him, whatever he comes to correct myself from that. Upon that, I need to connect to him again. Again, something comes to disconnect me. Again, I come to connect to him as much as possible. And that's the whole... that's all the corrections.
Yeah, but the bodies... you said, I see you like Rishimot. The bodies confuse us. In the morning we had 400 people, now we have 200 people. In a week we'll have 1,000 people here. How can we relate to all the friends who are coming?
I don't relate to all those friends at all. I only relate to, again, to my connection with the Creator and all this whole great society supports. Those are my desires that are really the Creator is awakening them in such a way that I can use them more or less. By me loving them and helping them.
So I don't relate to the bodies, I relate to the desires that are coming?
Of course not to the bodies.
It doesn't matter how many of them, where they're sitting, what they're doing. The Creator arranges a picture to everyone that these are His desires?
I can't answer you yes or no, because what you're saying now, you'll say it differently in another moment. Let's go and study. We're going to study.